Romans chapter 16, we're going to go there. I think I intended to introduce you to a whole bunch of people in this chapter last week, and I think I got through about two of them or three of them. So I want to continue down and teach the rest of this chapter. Lord willing, we'll finish it up this week. It'll be the last time that we teach out of the book of Romans, and we've tried to do an overview of the book. Hopefully it's been a blessing to you. We talked about in verse number one of Romans where Paul commends to them a lady by the name of Phoebe. And he says several things about her. Let me read the verse. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Centuria, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Heavenly Father, we're going to be introduced to some people by name today, who one of these days will get to meet in person in heaven. And Lord, oh, it's going to be exciting. These are real people, Lord. And Lord, you put them on earth for such a time as this. They serve their own generation by the will of God. Lord, their time has come and their time has gone. And now they've joined that great cloud of witnesses that are rooting us on. And Lord, may we learn some things from these first generation Christians, dear God. Well, I'm more and more convinced that 21st generation Christians need to go back and learn some things from the first generation Christians. And so, Lord, here was a group of people, Lord, that sought the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, lived every day anticipating the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, the way they conducted themselves and lived out their lives, their beliefs were evidenced by their actions. And so, Lord, may we, as we go down through this list, may we take a look and may we be inspired and helped. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I won't reteach a lot of what I taught last week because I want to get down into some of these other men and women that are mentioned here. But Phoebe was an assistant, or one that assisted in the ministry. She just was that lady in the church that had a tremendous servant's heart. And Paul said, not only has she assisted me many times, but she's just a need filler. She's looking for opportunities. First to raise her hand, first to show up, first to volunteer, first to sign the list on the bulletin board, just whatever it is, I'll be a part of it. I'll participate. I will serve the Lord by serving my church. And then this incredible couple, Priscilla and Aquila, and again, the word my helpers, and that means co-laborers, companions in labor, or co-workers in the Lord. And many of the folks that we're going to mention today, it says something along the lines of them laboring together or being co-laborers or helpers. And I said this last week, folks, listen, if you want to become close to the people in your church, then show up and work with the people in your church. You know, I remember a lady came to my mom years ago, and she said, you know, I've been attending here for a while, but I just don't feel like I'm really a part. I just don't feel like I think I ought to feel. And my mom looked at her and said, you don't get involved. You don't get involved. You don't show up to anything extra. You don't volunteer for everything. You don't participate in any ministry. And a lot of times people sit on the fringe and then want to point at the center and say, why don't those people make me feel more welcome? Here's an idea. Why don't you get in the center? He that have friends must show himself friendly. And I think a lot of times over the years, I'll just come on, look right up here and I'll tell you, a lot of the people that want to walk around and mutter around the edges and talk about how the church isn't friendly enough, or that it's not inclusive enough, or if you look at their lives, what do you want? You want people that are actively in the center to leave that and set out on the fringe with you and mumble and complain? Is that the real mission that you're on? Or do you want to get in the middle amongst the workers and the laborers and people that are rooting for the church and excited about things that are going on in the church? And by the way, if you get in that group, you're going to have a spirit of excitement. And so the people that Paul is mentioning are the people that are all in. And then he mentions in some other ones here that he's mentioned as being well-beloved. The well-beloved, the dear ones, the beloved ones. And here was a new convert. If you'll look down in, verse number 5. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Now, this is interesting. Who is first fruits of Achaia unto Christ? Now, I mentioned how Paul was an evangelist by nature and how he would go into a city and he would try to win people to Christ. Well, this man was one of his first converts of Achaia, one of the first fruits of Achaia. And you know what? Every once in a while, you'll get that convert, that new convert that doesn't just get saved, but decides right away that he's going to try to lead and help to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. He just gets in. He just gets involved. He just gets excited. And he was one of the first ones that were saved. And guess what? Now, years later, he's still there. He's still excited. He's still involved. And so endeared him to the apostle Paul. He called him my well-beloved, the dear one, the beloved one. And I can understand why Paul felt that way. You love everybody, but there's a special place in a pastor's heart for someone who just gets saved and, you know what, decides they're going to go all in for the Lord Jesus Christ because of the good effect that they have in the church. And then the next one that's mentioned is Mary. And here again, who bestowed much labor on us, a worker, one who served those who served the Lord, served those who served the Lord. These are the ones that are being mentioned in this. And if you look in verse number 7, he refers to Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Well, there's several things that said about these folks. He calls them my kinsmen. And I mentioned how that Paul may have very well been blood related to some of these people that he's mentioning in this chapter. You know what? Can I say this? It's nice to have family in the church. I'm talking about blood family in the church. You know, for years, my brother David and his wife attended this church. And, you know, he took a job in Indy. They no longer attend here. Go to a church up there, Brother Ted's church. But, you know, it's good to have Bob and Kim in the church. It's good to have Lori and Chuck in the church. I'll be honest with you. I miss coming in every Sunday morning, going over and saying hello to my mother for the years she attended the church, you know. And Dad, of course, even after he had to step aside because of health reasons for 6 years after that, you know, to be able to pastor a church and have your dad, who had started the church, sitting on the second row, amen and a rooting for his son during a certain, you know, those are good things, folks. Those are good things. Somebody asked me about Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I said, well, you know, and they asked, you know, what are some of the reasons you feel like the church is strong in some areas and able to do some things? I said, well, we're generational now. And, you know, Brother Reiser down in Princeton, his church haven't been in existence long enough to be generational. One of the great things about getting ready to celebrate our 50th anniversary is, you know what? Some young men back when the church started are now great-grandpas around here. They are. They're great-grandpas around here. But they were young men then. And you know what? To be able to see them raise their children and have their children in the church. And, you know, yes, God takes some of ours and takes them out, but he leaves some. And then for them now to be, I mean, I look out on some Sundays and see a grandpa and his adult son and his grandson or grandchildren all sitting on the same row. And I thought, isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to have family in the church? But don't ever forget this. You say, preacher, I want to tell you, I wish my family was even saved, let alone going to church. Well, let me tell you one of the things that you will feel and understand as you become a part of the body of Christ, and that is, you know what, when we got saved, we all are all family, and we're all brothers and we're all sisters. And I've had People tell me, I've had people tell me, "Preacher, I'm closer to my church family than I am my blood family." And that's true in a lot of instances. You know why? Because sometimes you just get saved and you get dedicated and you really get serious about the things of the Lord. And if your blood family won't get saved, or maybe they are saved but they don't really want to sell out for Jesus, it's funny how they'll kind of back away and back off from you and think that you've got issues and try to have an intervention every once in a while. They've got way too religious, way too excited about this, you know, all of that. Don't listen to any of that nonsense. Listen, love your family, but love Jesus more. I'm going to say it again. Love your family, but love Jesus more. And if they don't understand, they may not for a while. I watched my mom get saved first person saved for generations out of her family. I watched my dad get saved, all of his brothers and sisters, mom and dad, first one in the family to get saved. And I'm going to tell you, they didn't always understand, and they didn't understand why church became important. They didn't understand why things had changed, and some of the things they used to be able to participate in can't participate in anymore. And me and Cheryl's had to do that on both sides of our family over the years. You know, I remember going up every year to a family reunion on her side of the family, and one year they decided to move the location and have it at one of her uncle and aunt's house, and they had a swimming pool. And you know, Lloyd Whittington, he called me up and said, "Brother Jerry, you better know what they're doing, just so that you know, if you're going to come up to it, this is where it's going to be, and this is the circumstances, and this is going to be what's going on." And excuse me, folks, I don't care whether I'm related or not, I'm not hanging around a swimming pool with a bunch of people that aren't dressed right, just in order to have a family. I mean, as Christians, you have to make some decisions. Yeah, that's right. Doesn't mean you don't love your family. But you know what? If they're going to do certain things, I'm just not going to be there. Amen. Make some decisions. Take some stands. Well, they'll get upset. They'll probably get over it too eventually. And you got a better chance of winning them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I told the story many times about my mom and dad, and after they got saved, you know, and became and made the commitment to be faithful to church, how, you know, Marvin and Ruth Ogle, mom's mom and dad, come driving in about 6:15 on a Sunday night, and we were all ready and getting ready to head to the car and get to church, and here they came in for a visit, and they'd driven 45 minutes to come see us. And they showed up, and Dad said, "If you'd like to come to church with us, you're more than welcome to, but it's church time, we're going to church." And they not only didn't understand it, they got upset. They said, "Well, we've driven all the way over. Is it really that important? You can't miss one Sunday night. We came all this way." No, it's really that important. It's really that important. And, you know, well, you know, but I'm afraid I'm going to hurt their feelings. Listen, do the right thing. Be faithful. Be consistent. By the way, do it with the right spirit. Come on, we can always do it with the right spirit. And, you know, I'm sorry. And, boy, I wish you'd have called. But I guess going forward from now on, you'll know Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, this is where we're going to be. And you just do it. You do the right thing. And a lot of folks that didn't understand for a lot of years, a lot of my dad's brothers and sisters that were openly critical of the way that my dad and mom were living their life, you know what? They come to those crisis times in their life. And you know what? All of a sudden, they had opportunities to win one to the Lord, then another one to the Lord, then another one to the Lord, then a niece to the Lord, then a nephew to the Lord. And you know, but that didn't happen in the first year. Right. Didn't happen in the second year. Didn't happen in the 10th year. You know, we have to build a reputation for faithfulness and a good testimony. And people, when they see that it's real, not just some phase you're going through, you know how many people they've watched at work get religion. And by the way, if all you get is get religion, it's not going to stick. Because what you need, who we need, is Jesus Christ. But when you get saved, it ought to make a difference. So loved ones, a kinsman, but he also says fellow prisoners here. Now think of that, fellow prisoners. So you know what that means? That means they spent some time in jail together. Spent some time in jail together. Now, can you imagine writing about some of the old friends you have and say, yeah, you know, we served together and we worked together, and this was one of the first converts, and they're well beloved. And yeah, this brother here, me and him spent 4 days in jail, And this brother and sister, yeah, we ended up in jail over there. I think we were in there for 2 weeks before they let us out. You imagine just writing a letter like that? Oh, Americans are spoiled. We're spoiled. I mean, we think we know what persecution is. You know, we don't know what persecution is. Now, we may find out. I feel like it's kind of heading that way, where one of these days we might find out. But we don't know what persecution is. And you think about Paul willing to, listen, I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm going to these cities and I'm going to preach Jesus. I'm going to have church. I'm going to win people. I'm going to disciple people. And if somebody passes a law against it, I'm still going to do it. And if somebody threatens me, I'm still going to do it. And if somebody stones me, if God spares my life, I'm going to pull myself out of the pile of stones, walk back in, and pick up where I left off. That is how Paul lived his life. Read the book of Acts. It's inarguable. When I talked about that, our 21st century Christians needing to learn something from first century Christians, I think we need to learn a toughness. Toughness. I've been in a couple of meetings lately and talked to several preachers in more that are pastoring more in city environments who still can't get 40% of their people to come back to church. Still stuck on stupid over this COVID thing. Won't come to church. The church I was just at in Walls, Mississippi, the preacher said, I cut off live stream. I cut it off. I sent everybody in my church a letter and said, no more live stream. Some of you have gotten used to it. You're sitting at home. You know how discouraging it is for a preacher to run into somebody at Walmart and they say, hey, I know we haven't been able to come, but we've been catching it on live stream. And you're in Walmart. Now, COVID hasn't scared you off of Walmart. Now, the truth is you just got lazy. Come on. You know, you're attending the United Church of the Pajama Club and the meets in the living room on Sunday morning. It starts whenever you want to start it because, you know, they put it on YouTube and live stream so we can sleep. Now we're just, come on, at this point, it's wicked carnality and wicked laziness that's keeping Christians from going back to church. There's not one ounce of science or sense that should keep somebody from the house of the Lord right now. And so, that was free. But he said, can you imagine Paul watching us and think we went to jail on a regular basis for doing God's work and will. And so anyway, good stuff there. And of note, the Bible says they were of note among the apostles. So if you went and talked to the apostles and you began to ask them about Christians, these people's name came up. Amplius is mentioned in verse number 8. Again, my beloved in the Lord. And boy, again, a sweetness, a spiritual and pure affection and love is generated amongst the congregation of people that just attend and are faithful and serve the Lord and get involved. And so salute Urban, verse number 9, our helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. And again, we keep seeing the kind of the same, notice a pattern developing. It's the workers. It's those that are laboring together. It's those that are beloved, that's been there for each other, that suffered together, willing to suffer together, that created this feeling of closeness and a united spirit in the church. Verse 10, Apelles, approved in Christ. And then it mentions Aristobulus, and I know I'm probably massacring a lot of these names, but he says, greet them that be of their household, which are in the Lord, of their household. Now, it's like I said, it's one thing to have some people that say, you know, I come to church and, you know what, it's just me. And by the way, pray for my family. And I wish it was my brothers and sisters. And I wish it was my mom and dad. And I wish it was my kids. But, you know, it's great when God really works in an entire family and they dedicate themselves to the Lord, which are in the Lord. Which are in the Lord. And then in verse number 12, we mention two more people are mentioned who labor in the Lord. And then in verse number 12, and then salute our beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, verse 13, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. And I preached a message on a Mother's Day years ago entitled His Mother and Mine. Talked about how, you know what, I had a mom growing up, But I had a lot of church moms growing up. You know, one of the guys was preaching this past week, and he said, man, I was raised in a small town, and he said, you know, everybody spanked all the kids back in, everybody mothered all the kids. And that's the way it was when I grew up in rural America in 1960s. We were out riding our bike up and down through the country roads, and if some of us were misbehaving, it didn't matter whose mom it was. If they looked out the window and you were doing something you weren't supposed to, they'd come out and line you out real quick. And, you know, I've, again, this family atmosphere that's created in the church. And, yeah, I love my mom. I only got one real mom, but I always had a bunch of church moms. I mean, Jean Mowry was one of my church moms, and Ruth Inglis was one of my church moms, and Mrs. Townsley was one of my church moms. And, you know, it's just awesome to be able to grow up and have not only your own mother's affection and care and concern and prayers, but to have that from the older ladies in the church as a kid running around the church. Hey, that's all right. That's all right. It's a good thing. And then there's, again, a list of several that are mentioned in verse number 14, and the brethren which are with them, and the brethren which are with them. And the only thing I'm going to say about this is I appreciate that Paul had to say, and the brethren which are with them. Here's the names he remembered. The other ones he couldn't remember. He just said, yeah, well, thank you. That makes me feel better, Brother Paul. I'm in and out, and I travel some, and I'll meet somebody in this environment, and then I'll see them over in a different conference, and they all remember who I am because I was the speaker, and then they want me to remember who they are, and it puts you in an awkward situation sometimes. Verse 15, again, another list here, and all the saints which are with them, all the saints which are with them. And then it says this, watch this, verse 16, salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And I like this, two things about that. He said, listen, I've expressed my love and my appreciation to each of you individually. Watch this, now love each other. Now love each other. Now take that same love that you share with me and I share with you, and make sure that you are loving each other. Salute one another with an holy kiss, with holy affection. And then I like this too. You know what he said? He said there, the churches of Christ salute you. So he said, love one another. You labor together. Stay unified. Be family. Be willing to do your prison time to suffer if necessary. Remember, you are chosen ones, the accepted ones, the approved ones. So stand and serve and support one another. Do everything you do for the Lord. And by the way, whether you know it or not, there's a lot of churches that are looking to you as an example, and they salute you. They salute you. And so be that example. So the first section I labeled as people Paul sends greetings to. The next section we could cover in verse 17 and on down is people Paul warns Christians of. So people Paul sends greetings to, and people Paul warns the Christians of. Verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Notice this, three words, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of who? The simple. So if somebody is not in the same grouping that's been described and not participating in the same process and not building unity and not willing to work together, not loving each other, not helping to create a family atmosphere, just the opposite, it seems like they're bent on doing, causing divisions and offenses, then he said, you know what, just mark them and avoid them. That's the two things. Mark them and avoid them. Mark them and avoid them. Okay, that means you unfriend them on social media. That means you don't exchange Instagrams with them. You don't need to follow their nonsense. You don't need, by the way, when the phone rings or the text comes from them, you don't have to answer it. You know, there's something on these devices where you can block certain things. Amen. Well, that's what Paul's saying here. He's saying you mark them and you avoid them. And they serve their own lusts, more concerned about getting their way instead of God being glorified. because of their words, their posts, their texts, their whispers. He said, then there comes a point in time where you simply have to say, listen, all right, you know what? You're upset at everybody, and you're upset at God, and everybody's bad, and the church is terrible. All right, fine. You know what? Why don't you go be terrible by yourself? Because that's not how I feel, and that's not who I'm going to be, and that's not what I'm going to, that's not the crowd I'm hanging with. And you know what, folks? Sometimes we just need to stand up for Jesus. Sometimes we need to tell people, you know what? Last conversation we're having, I'm going to put you on my prayer list, but you know what? No more of this nonsense. I don't need you dragging me down. I have enough trouble keeping myself where I need to be without somebody always trying to drag me down, drag me out of church, hurt my spirit. So you know what? I ain't doing that anymore. So you know what? Go away.
Come on.
Go away. Focus on obedience is what the Bible says. Look at verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Then it goes here, and the peace, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So he says this, focus on obedience, obey the word of God, be wise unto good, simple concerning evil. Be the one that doesn't know all the bad stuff. Be the one that doesn't know all the gossip.
Come on.
Be the one that doesn't know all the rumors.
Right.
Be the one that doesn't get included in the group gripe text. Be that person. There's some things it's fine to be simple over,
yes,
you know. Sorry, too busy obeying the Lord. I don't have time for that nonsense, you know. People got time to spend hours and hours posting stuff on Facebook, but, you know, they can't sign up for a ministry. Don't have time to come to an after-church fellowship and actually build a spirit of unity amongst the church, but they've got time for nonsense. Well, you know what, folks, listen, look right up here. I got to live my life. You got to live your life. You make decisions for who you want to be. I'll make decisions for me and my family and who we're going to be. But I am not getting drug into that nonsense. Me and my wife sat down. We made that decision a long time ago. We're going to be with the positive crowd. We're going to be the one that talks up church. We're going to be the one that lifts up the brother. We're going to be the one that are encouraging people to serve the Lord. And whatever group doesn't want to do that, we'll love them. We'll pray for them. We ain't got time for them. We don't have time for them. Well, you just lack compassion. No, I just have obedience. I believe the Bible. I'm a Bible-believing Christian.
Amen.
So if you want to mumble and grumble and gripe and complain and spend your whole life telling everybody how terrible everything is, God bless you. But the honest truth is, everything's not terrible. And some wonderful things are happening and happen every single week in this church. And you know what? You've got to decide what you're going to look at. And is it about Jesus or is it just about you? Trust God to defeat Satan. And this is what you got to, well, preacher, well, how are we going to stop all this? Trust God to defeat Satan. That's what he says. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So remember, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was bestowed upon you. And so you be gracious with other people and just serve the Lord. And then people Paul sends greetings from. And again, isn't it interesting? We walk back into this. Timotheus, verse 21, my fellow work fellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, I think, my kinsman, salute you. Crazy. Work fellow, here it is again, my kinsman. And then he says this, I Tertius. You say, well, wait a minute, I thought Paul wrote this. Who wrote this epistle? Salute you in the Lord. And the word Tertius there means a Christian or three or a third. It literally kind of relates him to the Trinity. Some people believe that Paul, you know, had eye problems. And here he had a man that just came in and he says, Paul says, I'd really like to write a letter to the Christians in Rome. And he said, I can't really see the paper and I can't. He said, I can write it. I can write it for you. How about that? Gaius, my host. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city. Quartus, a brother. People who God, who Paul sends greetings from. And then here's the closing comments. You know, think about this. Grace, gospel, word of God, and glory. Grace in verse 24. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The gospel. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. These are the things Paul is interested in. Verse 26, the word of God, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Glory to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ. So Paul ends by saying, let me remind you that you were shown grace, so show grace. Let me remind you that the gospel is the most important message we have. Let me remind you to put and build your faith on the word of God. Thank God for the Bible. And then the closing verse. Let's make sure everything we do brings glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some very interesting, very personal things that are said in this closing chapter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace to us. And thank you, Lord, for watching over us. Thank you for the Bible and the book of Romans. And Lord, again, we, Lord, have mentioned people and looked at what you allowed to be mentioned about them. And may we just take that and let it guide us. Bless the service that will follow in Jesus' name. Amen.